103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. One of 3.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show with Brian Green and Peter Donegan for another Friday afternoon. Good afternoon to you. Coming up on today's programme, the last in our series from the Garden Congress, Gillian Harrod of Bay Road Nurseries Australia talks to Peter Donegan. We've been running the series since the middle of August, when we started with Michael D. Higgins, followed by John Vanderhorst, Acorn Nurseries from Australia. Into September, we spoke with Chris Bates of Bale Publishing in the USA, Estelle Cornell of Alora Garden Nursery in Australia, and Christian Dingers from Dingers Garden Centre in Germany last week. Today, the final in the series, which was put together with Sod Show and Bord Bia. That's coming up in a moment. First, thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at greensacks.ie. Check them out in the supermarket, where you can drop greensacks into your trolley. If you've got news for The Sod Show, at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, sodshow.com/news is where you can get all the news that's good and approved by The Sod Show team and our blogger, Katrina Redmond. Thanks, Katrina. Now, to that interview with Gillian Harrod. I'm going to call in Peter Donegan and ask him, where are you today, Peter?
I'm on a coach at Powers Court Townhouse and Gardens. The Irish Garden Centre Congress is meeting, and in my company is?
Gillian Howard.
Gillian, where are you from, for those who don't know you?
I'm from Melbourne, Australia.
And what has you here?
We're here on the Congress, and it's our first time on Congress, I have to say, my husband and I. And we're really enjoying it.
What do you do back in Australia?
We have a small retail garden centre in Bayside, Melbourne, metropolitan inner city. And we've had that for 23 years and have built it up over a period of time. And it's a beautiful place, but we've come here to get inspiration about how to do things better, and certainly are getting that as we're going around seeing all the garden centres in Ireland.
To put in context, and for those who aren't aware, how big is Australia in comparison to Ireland?
Well, I think it's a whole lot bigger, but there's a whole centre of Australia that's uninhabitable. So most of our population is around the very perimeter on the coastline. And Melbourne in particular is down south. And we have a climate not dissimilar to here, perhaps not as cold in winter, and perhaps a little hotter in summer, but we have very distinct seasons.
And of all of the garden centres that you've seen in Ireland, and you've seen a few now, how does your garden centre compare? Because Ireland to Australia, in ratio, you're like a gazillion times greater or larger than us. So how does the garden centre fare? When you say small or little, I have a picture of you being like the size of Ireland.
No. The garden centres here are much larger. Our garden centre is a regular house block size, so it's very small. So we've seen some enormous garden centres here. None of them have been anywhere near the size of our garden centre, but the scope and the scale of the island garden centres is mind-blowing. The quality of the stock we've just been so impressed with, and we would love to get the range of plants that you have here and the quality and the hardware. Everything is just on a much grander scale than what we have in our particular garden centre.
Okay, for those of you listening, you can hear ambient sounds in the background, and you'll probably hear a little bit of shouting and somebody putting us into, trying to get us into order. But there's 220-odd people across on this trip, and I am blessed to be in the company of the most of them. How does the sales work in comparison? Again, you've had a chance to talk to some of the Irish counterparts, so how does, you know, where we might sell, let's say, decking for the last, we've obviously stopped selling it maybe or as much over the last 3-4 years, how has it changed in Australia? Was decking a big thing maybe 20 years ago and still isn't, or is it just one of those things, or what's the big sale over in Australia at this moment in time?
Well, in our particular instance, we are geared towards impulse colour, so lots of colourful annuals and plants. And we have a strong, like here we've noticed, a strong homewares and giftware department in our business. And we also have a cafe, and that's very similar to the garden centres here, although they are on a much larger scale here, that you have to be a multi-purpose destination. People have to want to come to your garden centre and have the whole experience, have something to, you know, a meal, to walk around the beautiful garden centre, to buy a gift, to buy things for their gardens. And, you know, in particular in our instance, there are garden centres obviously in Australia that are much larger than ours, and but we tend to focus on primarily impulse, colourful lines, seedlings, vegetables, growing your own herbs and vegetables, gifts. And, you know, that's how our market is where we are. We're very suburban, perhaps a little upmarket, you know, a very affluent area where our garden centre is. It's Bayside. It's evolved, but we don't sell hard landscaping. We don't sell large construction items. Even our hardware offering is quite limited because we compete with a lot of the large, Bunning or big box barn hardware stores. So we have to keep it fairly, a very tight range, which works for us.
Okay, pop quiz round. Your top five selling plants, or approximately thereabouts.
Top five? I'd have to say anything that is flowering and colourful, things like cyclamen, tulips, seedlings, vegetables. Vegetables are growing enormously in sales because people are coming back to growing their own and centering their gardens on being productive. So anything that's flowering, anything that's in season and is full of blooms, we sell. So they all sell very well.
Okay, top five selling trees.
Gee, that's a...
And this to put into context, this is only because in Ireland we may sell one type of tree, and climatically, due to regions. For those of you who aren't au fait or as well versed in horticulture, there are trees that you would take as a mainstay in Ireland that would not necessarily grow as well in Australia, and equally there are bedding plants or shrubs that we would have that would be the mainstay here that are from the, what I would call, the guaranteed to grow list, that would differ obviously based on climate to Australia. So just to give people a little bit of a gist of that.
Well, our top five selling trees would primarily be small ornamental trees, so things like lovely small growing maples. Crepe myrtles are very popular because they thrive in our sandy soils. Chinese elms grow very well in our area. Ornamental pears are extremely popular and used a lot because they can be pleached and hedged as well as being grown as a standalone specimen. And I think another one would be, now I'm struggling, anything, along those lines. Fruit trees too, crab apples, very popular as well. So that'd be my five.
And what's, to put your own business in picture, how do you fare in relation to the other garden centres? Are you on your own? Are your competitors, I say competitors, are they mainly chains? Like, so over here we might have a B&Q or a Woody's or whatever the case may be. They might have a hardware store with a garden centre attached to it in some format or other. Are they your main competitors?
Yes, they are now. Since the drought that we suffered probably 10 years ago, we've lost a lot of our independent competition. So we've managed to survive the drought. And now the large box barn hardware are our major competitors because they do and are continuing to do plants in quite an aggressive way. So we are, they are our main competitors now.
But do you find that I think when you might tell me different, so from 1981 odd when I was five kind of thing and I started doing the whole growing plants under my bed thing, we've been here before, people, you know all this, Sideshow listeners, but in 1981 to let's say 1989, the big thing was you went to the garden centre, you asked a little bit of advice, you had a shady spot, you acquired a plant and they excuse me, brought you around and you were able to almost spend like a half an hour in conversation. I say almost, but in conversation, picking out the right plant for the right space. And then it kind of changed to, I've got a hoosive amount of cash, and you just threw it at a landscaper. This is in jest, obviously, slightly, but you threw it at a landscaper, and he kind of built you something extremely avant-garde, and it went on from there. And obviously, we had the trends of the decking and whatever the case may be, and then it became to grow your own. How has it changed in your own garden centre over those years? And are you finding a return to people coming back looking for plants? Is it more plant-based now?
Definitely. Our business is primarily very customer-focused, so you do get that individualised service that you were referring to, Peter, in terms of people wanting individual advice and to spend time with you and to build that relationship with your local nursery. So we've always prided ourselves on that, and that's our point of difference from the large hardware box chains. We do give individualised service, and people do come to our nursery to have that connection with their nurseryman, with their garden centre staff. And definitely there is a return to that slow gardening, I call it, and you know, actually getting your hands in the soil. And I agree, there was that period where people would just get someone in to do it for them and have the whole kit and caboodle, the barbecue outdoor living area, the paving, the pool, the spa, everything. But I think now people are doing their gardens more for their souls and really wanting to put their own stamp on what they create in their outdoor environment. And I really think that's very exciting again.
We had your mates, the garden gurus, from Australia. Yeah. Well, yes. From Australia, we can say that because we're in Ireland. But if it was in Australia, obviously we'd be saying your neighbours or your mates. But we had them on the television, on the radio show, I think about a year ago. They were telling me that they are the only garden television show still on the go. How, bearing in mind you're talking to Ireland's only full-time garden radio show, how is it in Australia with that? Do you have other garden radio shows? Is it slots within shows? Is it a seasonal thing? Is it still just one garden television show?
There's probably two or three now, and a couple of smaller television shows. But there has been a contraction in the amount of media devoted to gardening, and radio still supports gardening programs, particularly, you know, Saturday morning slots. You can always turn on the ABC or, you know, our local radio and get local gardening programs. But yeah, it certainly isn't as prominent as what it was on television, which is a sadness, I think.
Is there a change to you in that? Because I know over here we've got probably, you know, too many cooking programs. I may get, you know, run down for saying that. You know, some people would say you can never have enough, but literally there, I mean, everywhere you look there are cooking programs, literally left, right and centre. And I'm not aware at this moment in time of one Irish garden television program at all. And again, talking to the Garden Guru guys a year ago, June 2013, I think we had them on the show. It seemed maybe a little bit of a shame, but then some people say to me, well, that's because you studied horticulture, Peter, and for those who didn't, it just doesn't seem to be in demand.
Look, I try to remain optimistic about the state of horticulture, because we are obviously, you know, facing a similar future to Ireland, but I do want to remain optimistic. But it is hard, and you know, my husband David is involved in the nursery industry in Victoria to try and raise the profile. So he's actively involved in getting the nursery industry back where it used to be. You know, when we were growing up, when it was a legitimate pastime and a very valued pastime. And I really believe that it is maybe on the back of that cooking phenomenon that the next step will be a transition to the garden and the relationship of gardening to cooking. And, you know, we may be the next step along the path, because, yeah, I agree, there is almost a saturation point of cooking shows, and I wonder how far that can continue on, really. So, yeah, it is a similar case in Australia, unfortunately, at the moment. But I think the tide's turning.
We would have, you would have been at the Mansion House on Monday night. You arrived into Ireland on Sunday. Did you go see the hurling?
No, we missed the hurling. We chose to actually take 3 days before the Congress started and travel down, do the touristy western side of Ireland, and we had a lovely three nights down. We stayed at Ballycotton, and we had a lovely time. And my husband's a keen golfer, so we had to pay homage to a few of the golf courses down that way.
Can I ask you, not so much in the Please Play Ireland, a few compliments department, but can I ask you your thoughts so far? Because you have, the itinerary that has been set out for you, I actually put a note up on the Sod Show website saying if you're ever thinking about coming to Ireland and you're not into horticulture, just take the garden centres out of it, still go for the coffee shops and everything else. Again, I double underline, if you're not into horticulture. But the itinerary is literally a who's who of all of the places that you should go. How has your week just about in Ireland been for you?
Been amazing. We've been seeing so much, and the variety. I had a vision that Ireland was very uniformly green, but in our pre-drive that we did down south and west, the landscape changes and the weather changes beautifully from one minute to the next. We've been blessed with beautiful weather, but yeah, and the people. I mean, what can you say? Everyone's so friendly, and I've just the little country villages, you would call them. We'd call them towns in Australia, but they're villages. They're just so incredibly beautiful to look at. So no, it will take me time to absorb it all because the pace we've been going at has been tremendous. But the gardens, the Powers Court that we just saw, I mean, the scale of something like that is just hard to comprehend, and it's just there, and you arrive and this landscape opens up for you that is just completely immaculate and manicured and just on the grandest scale I've ever seen.
I saw one note on Twitter from the Irish Garden Centre Congress account. Again, I'll have all this in the Sideshow show notes. But it said, I think it, I'm open to correction on this, but I think it said it's lashing out of the head. Well, it's basically raining a lot at this moment in time, but it just seems to make the country look a little bit more beautiful.
It does, and it passes. It just it comes across. It's different from Australia. The weather changes. It can be sunny. It can then become slightly cloudy, rains. But then within 5 minutes, it's beautifully sunny and sparkling. Everything's sparkling because of all the green. It's just the lushness is something that is quite striking for us, obviously coming from Australia. It's just so lush, and the plants. The first thing I saw when the first thing that really took my eye were the hydrangeas. I have never seen colour and form in hydrangeas in the gardens here. I had to stop and take photos. I said to David, we have to pull aside. I've never seen a hydrangea. And I was speaking to one of the ladies who was a hostess at a B&B, and she said it has been a very good year for hydrangeas, but they are something unlike any. Ours are all bleached and burnt, but yours are just perfect. I've never seen more perfect plants. So
there are house moms, I say house moms, house dads as well, or gentlemen all over the country, horticulturally giggling at that one if you're Irish, because I've never known anybody to take photographs of hydrangeas at all. You may as well take photographs of weeds, as far as I'm concerned. Over here, they grow that well. It's one of them. You put them in the ground, they grow blue. Sometimes they grow pink. God only knows. Are you on the online? Have you got a website if people want to take a look at your garden centre?
We do have a website. It's www.bayroad.com.au. So it's Bay Road Nursery is the name of our business.
And are you on the Facebook thing or the Twitter?
Yes, we're on Facebook as well. So,
are you on Twitter?
No, I don't believe so at this.
No, okay. Gillian, what's when do you head home?
We head home. I'm going to London for a couple of days, and then we head home in about a week's time. I'm actually meeting a friend going further and meeting a friend in Greece for a couple of days. So couldn't come all this way without spending some time. And, yeah, it's fantastic. Really enjoying it.
Excellent. Listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Hopefully, one of these days, I will get across to Australia. I'll knock on your door and I'll go check your garden centre out and see what those burnt hydrangeas look like.
No, you won't be very impressed with them, particularly if you come in about January when ours try to flower and all they do is frizzle up and go brown. So
excellent. Thanks, Gillian.
Thanks, Peter. Thank you.
Gillian Harrod speaking with Peter Donegan, 103.2 Dublin City FM. It's the Sod Show. You know what? After listening to the series of the Garden Centre people coming on and talking about the great things that they're doing around the world in their garden centres, it has me thinking that we really do support our local garden centres, and they are local businesses, so it's great to do, and they are the places to go to get that, you know, that thing that's missing from your garden, or something that needs you know, some planting or hard landscaping. Something is there. Do support, and I know that you do, your local garden centre, or if not your local one, maybe the next one down. What's she or he got in their garden centre? Check them out this weekend. It's 103.2 Dublin City FM. Brian Green, Peter Donegan on The Sod Show, where you can get in touch with us. If you've got any news or items for The Sod Show, why not drop a line to us on Twitter at Sod Show. On Facebook, you can get us at facebook.com/The Sod Show. And you can also get in touch by email, info@sodshow.com. All the news goes to the blog, that's sodshow.com/news, where Katrina Redmond is blogging away for us. Get in touch there too. And as always, as we close the programme, we thank our sponsors. Greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet too. They're at greensacks.ie. Check them out in the supermarket, where you can download them into your trolley. Yes, I said download, because some people actually do shop online these days. I don't. Last weekend, the Sod Show was at the Spirit of Folk Festival. Or was it? It was in the form of Peter Donegan with microphone, and Brian Green, for the first time in 4 years, didn't make it. Long story, I'll explain some other time. We'll be back next year in strength. Hope to be rocking it out with the Sod Show team at Spirit of Folk number 5 next year. Until next week at 3 p.m, this is the Sod Show. Brian Green signing off. Do take care and have a great week. Bye bye.
Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.